Hi, and welcome to Visions, and thank you for joining me as we have a discussion around disability and how it impacts our personal lives. Today, I'm joined by
Tacita Ford,
Diana Applewhite,
and Lori Gullard.
And we'll be having a conversation around what it feels like when we are showing up, or how different we are supposed to be from other persons. So, girls, let's look at some of the common questions or comments that we hear. Amory, you want to start? I know you were sharing recently about an episode when you got on the bus.
Yes, I got on the bus. And I said good morning, of course. And then someone said, there's a seat right there. And I was like, dear rear! And I got so frustrated because nobody showed me their rear. So I just said it until someone came and showed me where exactly.
I think this is a common thing that happens to a lot of persons who are blind or visually impaired. People often say there, over there, or just there, or look there.
Mm-hmm.
Not explaining the dimensions or the directions of how you can get there.
Exactly.
That is true, usually, because like sometimes you're walking through the city and you get people coming up to you and asking you, you know, some weird like, questions they considered weird, like, who made you? Who dressed you? Like, duh, I can dress myself and bathe myself. So sometimes what I do is take that opportunity to get rid of the ignorance that and the mindsets that people have and just teach them and let them know that because you are disabled or you have lost your vision, that you can still do things. Disability does not mean inability.
People often assume that because you have a disability, that you're supposed to stay at home, and they're like, what are you doing out here if you can't see properly?
Yeah, I remember I got that quite a lot. People used to say, why don't you stay home? You can't see well. Stay home, let somebody take care of you. And I'm like, so who will take care of me? And if that person dies or becomes ill, who will take care of me? You know, I think people underestimate the value of being independent and living independent lives. So I think this is part of what we need to do, help people to understand that all of us want to exercise that independence. You, the other person, wants to travel on the bus or drive your car and go into Bridgetown or Warren's or wherever to do your business or just socialize, go to lunch with friends and things like that. We want to do the same thing.
Well, not drive to town.
Well, I think there's a running joke. There's a running joke with me where I was saying, look, just give me the keys and let me drive you. And people, oh yes, when the automated cars are ready.
Girls, have it ever happened to you? I'm sure it has. You know, you're in town or wherever, and someone shouts you and expect you to know exactly who they are.
We know exactly what you're talking about, Anne-Marie. I mean, they're like, hello! And you're like, who is it? And you're like, it's me!
Leo!
I mean, what the public can do is identify yourself. Yes. I mean, a lot of us, blind and visually impaired, we use sound recognition. So some of us may remember your voice, but it won't hurt for you to come and say, well, this is so-and-so. And
especially if you haven't seen you for 20 years.
Yes.
Some people do sound alike, so it's still an issue. Just say who you are.
Yes.
And it's like, you really don't know who I am? You can't remember me?
You sure know everybody touch?
Yes, yes. A lot of people do that to me. They come up and they touch me.
I can recall being in Bridgetown one day, and my sister was like, somebody's shaking at you. They were in a distance.
I get that, yes.
In a vehicle, and they were shaking. Well, I said, no, they're not shaking at me because they would know I can't see them, so they can't know me. Probably a mistake on my next team.
I have gone at that. People shaking.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
They do all types of things and expect us to respond in a positive way or in the accepted way.
Mm-hmm.
But people need to remember that once the vision is reduced, then you, the individual with the impaired vision, will need to rely more heavily on sound and smell and touch, where in certain situations touch is pretty important as well.
And what I would wish for the general public to also recognize, that sometimes for the blind and visually impaired, being in traffic or even loudspeakers playing music, it makes you kind of disoriented. Yes. So you tend to lose your bearings, as we would say in Bajan parlance.
When you can't see, you need to hear what's going on.
So sometimes we may stop and ask you a question. You can just easily stop and answer our query instead of looking at us like if we are weird. I mean, we're all our brother's keepers.
And something that I think we need to definitely touch on is that whether it be wheelchair user or being visually impaired or blind, we too have our lives to live. We have families. We have a household to support. Whether we have to pay bills, buy food, just like you, we have to keep up for our livelihood. Yeah? So we too need work. We weren't all born with disabilities. So it can happen to anyone at any time.
It's true.
It's true. Because some of us lose our... gain the disability later on in life, having worked before.
Yes.
So then to make that adjustment to living a life with a disability, it's kind of hard for us. So in terms of emotions and, you know, just trying to change the way you do things, you know, so if John Public can sometimes bear with us and try to understand and put yourself in our shoes just for a while.
Yeah, I always say,
you know,
disability does not have a face. It doesn't have a face.
The people in our age.
Right. If you're disabled, you're supposed to... If you dress too nicely, of course someone dresses you. Or you can't do your hair by yourself. Or you can do nothing by yourself. They expect us to be walking about in pink and yellow shoes. In green and black, you know. Yeah. Green and black skirt and orange shirt.
Yeah.
And then we come out well put together.
They're kind of amazed. But, I mean, we can... We use our mind's eye to see. So always remember that. We use our mind's eye.
Daya, you catch the bus. I don't know if you've ever had like people looking at you because you can get off the bus by yourself.
Yes.
And walk up the gap by yourself.
Yes.
People are so amazed. One guy said to me an evening, girl, you so brilliant. And I was only walking up the gap.
But the thing is, what we do, are, you know, what we are put here on earth to do. So losing the eyesight does not mean that we can't do it. We just make up in our mind that we're going to do it. So we just do it. We are doing the same thing as you. Just but because of the public perception that because you're blind or vision impaired, you cannot do.
Mm.
I think that is why it looks so amazing to the public. But we just get up and do.
Well, I must say, I felt really, really...
But, I mean, the reality is that you have the disability.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, you need to find ways of managing it, of doing the many tasks that you need to do. Because it's not everything that you will want someone to be doing for you constantly. You might call on them one or two times, and then you get the hang of it and learn how to do that particular technique.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think one of the things that I personally have... I think I want people to really bear in mind and understand and appreciate is the privacy of the individual. Sometimes, you know, you might say, well, this is my cell phone and I will go in my cell phone. My wife, my husband, my child, nobody can go in my cell phone. But yet, that individual might say, well, hey, you need a number? And just up your phone and into it without asking whether you give them permission or not. You know, so that invasion of privacy, I don't think people really appreciate.
As a visually impaired person, you know what really gets to me? I mean, you cannot have it sometimes, but when you have mail, a letter, a bill, whatever in the mail, and you have, for me, it kind of seems like a breach of my...
That privacy.
Yes, but I have to get someone to read my personal... mail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like it. I wish people would find ways to get information to us without having for us to depend on other people to give us the information.
Well, and that's why I think that there's such a push for persons with disabilities to learn how to use the technology, because some of our bills can come electronically, some of our correspondence can come electronically, and the other piece of technology can be the reading machine. And again, the Carrie-Anne Eiffel unit at the University of the West Indies, maybe some arrangement could be looked at where individuals who want to read their own mail or other personal information could access that service, that reading machine there, and be able to go and read their material.
Well, I have a friend who recently lost vision. And imagine your partner telling you, because you're now blind, why do you want to handle your own money?
Well, that seems to be the case with a lot of the members of the disabled community, mm-hmm. people with the mindset that they can't handle their own business. And they know that they can handle their own business, but yet people want to, you know, enforce that idea and push it down their throat that they can't handle their business, so they will have to do it for them. Most members that I've met in the community can handle their own business, so I think what
and even if you need assistance, you know, the person will ask for assistance.
Yeah.
And asking questions sometimes to the general public out there, you might see a person who's blind walking on the street, and you might have you know, your curiosity wandering, you might have a question, and you can just come and say, excuse me, and ask a question. Don't make assumptions or assume we can't do it or we, whatever the case may be. Yeah. Ask the question and we will answer you.
And be polite about it.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, yeah. But when you see the visually impaired, we are blind or vision impaired. We are not deaf. So please start talking about us next to us.
Or speaking loud as if we can't hear you.
Yes.
Or using raised voices and really shouting at you, like, you know, like if you're deaf. Another thing that I find happens a lot with the blind and visually impaired is when you go to some business places and if you have someone guiding you, they're referring to your guider and not you. I mean, how rude can you be? So I would like corporate Barbados to speak to the person who's there to arrange their business. The person is just guiding them. It may be a stranger that just attached to you along the way.
Yes.
And then you are speaking to this person about the blind person personal business.
Like, where does she live? I don't live with her, you know.
So we need to stop that and refer to the person who is seeking to have the transaction done.
And something as crazy as I went into a store one day, me and someone, and I can remember, well, I'm a young person.
Wait, so you don't want to tell us who someone was?
Apparently not. Let's leave it there.
I just figured it wasn't relevant, but I was with my mom. We went to this store. And we were having a conversation. I was looking at some clothes and stuff. And the girl in the store who was assisting us, I said, what the bird? She was like, wait. She can't see. I should talk like a young person.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, for real? She ain't sure. She was like, oh, she knows, so she ain't sure?
To see that you are making this up.
No. And she was really fascinated. That's the thing. I didn't want to be rude, right? Because she was, it wasn't that, you know, she was being stupid or anything. Well, it was to me, it was stupid to say it because nothing's wrong with my mouth. I'm still in the world with everyone else. But to her, she sounded so fascinated. And her mouth was open, like she was in this disbelief, like, how she know these things?
Whoa, she
I actually had to stop and I had to talk to her. And I was like, I'm going to get here. And I was like, I want a color, I want a hot dog. She was like, weird. I was like, because this place that I can't see properly, I still have to look just as good as you are, even better. Note to self.
Yeah, better.
Because people are constantly watching us.
Yes. They see our stick, our cane, before they see us. And they see it as a stick. And it's not a stick, it's a cane.
Another thing I find that people tend to do out in the public arena is you're walking by yourself and they would come and lift up the stick and say, I got you. I always tell...
When they call it a stick,
because they call it a stick, that's why I deliberately said stick. Mm-hmm. But it really is a cane. Mm-hmm. And to the public out there, when you come and lift up that cane, like I say to some people, if you're lifting up my cane, it's like you're lifting up my leg because I use my cane to walk with. The cane tells me what obstacles are there, what indentations are there in the road, what potholes are there, whatever is there.
And that's
the cane will allow us to.
I don't think I'm going to lift your eyes when you're walking.
The cane is really asking me to lift up my leg and walk.
Extension of ourselves.
Yes.
Okay, imagine really this. You're reading and somebody come cover your eyes. Then you can't read anymore, can you? So therefore, when you start, are you lift our cane? Then we can't walk. Ask if we need help. Fine. We will say yes, no. Or whatever the case may be. When you come and you lift the cane, then you're putting us in harm's way because we don't know where we're going,
One of our blind friends, she was in Bridgetown, that was earlier this year, and she had some bags. And lady came and said, oh, let me help you. And she grabbed the bags, and you know, our friend, she fell down.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all in the approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
definitely.
You just come and say, do you need assistance? Don't matter that you're the police.
It's
just
true.
Ask a question.
Especially the male members out there that you see a female, a blind or visually female walking and you come and grabbing the arm.
Yes.
And you're grabbing the arm by the armpit.
Diane, when you catch you
that
minivan,
is a bit too personal for
they're
me.
They're trying to like push you up in the van or
lift you into the van.
Yes,
too.
I've gotten that a lot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We can walk, you know.
Okay, Tosita. I think one of the things for me, I find that a lot of people, because my eyes are not discolored or turned right or left, you know, in one position, that sometimes individuals look at me and they try to figure out, is she truly visually impaired or not? So I've had cases where persons would actually walk like, so that they would walk right up to me so that my cane would actually go between their legs.
Yeah.
Yes, I've had that a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And some people, other road users or passengers would actually say, you can't see this woman blind, you know, and kind of defend me. But people do different things to test to see whether you can actually see or not.
You weren't swinging your cane, were you?
Yes.
Mm. Because people assume that being disabled or being blind or visually has a look. Like if a person's in a wheelchair, you see the wheelchair, so you know they're in a wheelchair. When they look at a person with a vision problem, blind, your eyes supposed to look white or look
mm-hmm.
different or
yeah,
funny.
Discolored or something. Yeah.
But you know, they don't expect your eyes look normal. Are you actually looking
because
if your eyes open? Maybe your eyes should be closed. That's what people assume.
You know, I've had to get used to people. So walking around and just ignoring people when they stare at you. Because like walking downtown with my kid and you're, as I said, well put together, and people are stopping and looking back or just staring at you like you as they say from Mars or from another planet or something.
Yes.
One evening I got so frustrated, I stopped in the middle of Broad Street and I said, I am so gorgeous, people just got to stare.
You really are.
I'm really frustrated.
You really are, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
I mean, one day I was in the Wilde area and I was with my daughter and traffic stopped. And the reason why traffic stopped is because this guy was driving and he stopped directly beside me and he twists and turned his neck to stare up at me like, what is going on here? So we paused. My daughter and I paused because we know we're both beautiful.
God, that
and he was just probably admiring. But I mean, the things that people do.
Yes, it's true.
Now, Beijing should be aware of a lady walking with a cane. This should be the norm here because more and more disabled members of the disabled community are coming out.
Yes.
We are not staying home like years
ago.
Those
days are gone.
So those days are gone.
Yes.
We are
way
out
gone.
There.
Mm-hmm. And something else that really annoys me. Okay, it's called the Center for the Blind and Deaf in Bay Street. It's
blind
not the blind school or is it not? It's not the blind workshop.
And we do not live there.
Even on weekends, these that our drivers are asking us, you're going up.
Yeah.
You know, we don't live there.
Sunday evening, Saturday morning, whenever.
And you get a man that pass on the rest, and people are like, yeah, we know where you're going. Like, no, you don't. We go other places too, you know. I'm like,
it's
no,
true.
You don't. Ask me where I'm going. Don't assume that I'm going to the blind school where I live.
I got in a Zadar and the guy said, you're going to the blind workshop? And I said, is the workshop blind? I didn't know that.
And what did he say?
You were too much, Diana.
You probably thought you were so rude.
I can remember one day, I caught a bus. And then you got some school children got on the bus, somewhere on the path and on the road. And they started the queue with my cane. And they were watching me all the time. And I can see that they were watching because I'm only visually impaired. And I can also feel the tension from all the eyes staring. And I'm not, I didn't say anything to them or anything of the sort. But I can remember when I was getting on the bus, the van, my phone rang. And it was playing a secular song that plays on the radio. Almost everybody was like, wait, she got her big children, but she phone and she can't see. And they're all their heads are through the window staring at me like, and I was like, yo, and they were like, yeah. And these children were so fascinated by the fact that I had this normal phone, they knew, and everything, not instrumental. And I felt like I answered the phone, so normally like, how they would answer their phone, they were so fascinated. And they watched me till the van was no longer in anywhere they could see me. All the way, they were walking, they were watching me.
But Tasita, I also want to say that, you know, my heart really feels blessed sometimes with some of the school children, because
yes.
the curiosity that they have, you know, they would come up to you and ask questions, and they really do love answering their questions.
Yeah.
And they would also assist you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I really love that about our school children here.
I remember one evening I was coming from Christchurch. I wanted to go to the supermarket from the River Van Stand, and this school girl, she was from Parkinson. I think her name was Tara. That little girl, she took me to the supermarket. She helped me pick up my groceries. She brought me back, put me on a van, and it was like no problem. You know, some people do things and you can tell that they don't really want to do it.
Yeah.
She did it and you could tell it was no problem.
Yeah.
I was really, really touched because there is hope out there.
Yeah, there definitely there really is. We really have some good
people. So, you know what I mean? They're kind of crying on the young people. They're not all bad.
It's just a small section.
Yes.
And even that small grouping, oftentimes if they're given the guidance and the love and support, some of them will turn around.
I think there could be a program where you can put the ones that are given, you know, distractions in school and so on, put them among the disabled. Let them learn something about the disabled community. And I think that would straighten them out. Because there is a lot of love in the disabled community. And what we need is love.
I was at the center and there was a group coming through. And a group of young people, I think 13 to 16, and they saw my iPhone. I was like, "Man, she got iPhone? How you just get that work?" So then that was an opportunity for me as an adult, as a person with a disability, to teach them something. And they would have left, learning something that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I guess we have to get back and get into the schools.
Yes. And take every opportunity.
Yeah, to teach
children, adults, whoever, awareness.
And to persons who are disabled that are listening, what I want to say to you is sometimes when people come and they ask questions, and you may think the question is a stupid question, or somebody answered that question one the other day and you're annoyed at hearing No question is stupid, first of all, firstly. Mm-hmm. And you can use the opportunity to educate the able body. And also, not to be rude, so they will understand. They just want to know. Handicapped persons are just afraid of the unknown. And if you help them to understand better, then they will approach us better, and they can also educate someone else who might not know.
A lot of it's about ignorance.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes, as Tasita is saying, some of us with disabilities can be very offensive. Yeah. And we get offended very quickly. But it's really an opportunity to help another person understand your situation and how they can help you to do some of the tasks and reach some of the goals that you want to achieve.
So, persons with disabilities do get married and have kids and have jobs. Well,
I've never had a kid. I had children.
Yes, baby, we have children. We have husbands and wives. We have jobs. If we can get a job, we do work to support our families. You know, some of us even have our own home. And our house is clean. And we cook for ourselves.
And
so, tell us the difference.
That people who are visually impaired, I find, are blind, are much cleaner because we are always washing our hands.
Yeah.
We work that much harder to make sure that things are better because we have to. Yeah.
Because people expect that you can't do so. Basically, you have to prove yourself.
Yes.
Even though you know you can do, you have to prove yourself over to John Public.
Now, girls, tell me about what you would consider one of your most hilarious moments shopping.
I went looking for a dress, and the sales lady was bringing all of these dresses that would suit somebody in their 90s. And I mean, me at 50, fit fabulous and 50, what would they be doing in that style? And she seemed to pick all the old time styles for me, and I'm like, no, I don't wear that. So a lot of them look at you and assume, oh, this is for you because you can't see, so I give you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me, when I go shopping, I still have them. I don't want anything below my knees. I am still young, and I don't want no long clothes.
And what's the reaction like?
When I first got married, I went ahead and did work to get some skirts taken up because they were a little longish. You know what she said to me? You know, you're married, you gotta respect yourself.
All right, we leave that one right there. Good. Zita, anything from you?
Well, just I also been to this store and I was trying to find, it was my birthday and I wanted to open for my birthday. And the person in the store assisted me, and I'm going to a particular person, but she wasn't in, she had stepped out. And when this person came, the lady, she came to me and I thought she was bringing literally anything. I gave her my size. I don't know if she was because it could fit, you should wear it. And I'm a big person, so obviously I'm not gonna wear any and everything. And she was like, but it's not good for you though, you could wear this. I was like, would you wear that? But it ain't for me. And it really was like hideous, and it did not suit me. And I myself was between me could see that. And I'm like, but I don't like it. She was like, don't move, Amber said, I ain't wearing a different color. The color doesn't matter. It just did not suit me at all. And she was coming to me. She's like, but you tell me you always ain't good, right? But this could put up on you. I'm like, because I'm vision period. No, take my word for it. I said this look good, just wait. I said, no thanks, I'm leaving the store. And then she got really upset.
You left
just I went to there. Another store and she came in the other store.
Yeah.
And she was pointing at me, telling the person, like, is she? Is she that did what? And my friend was like, is she talking about you? I was like, indeed not.
Well,
I did not believe it at all. Oh, I have to say this story. I have a nail technician. I get my nails done and stuff. I had to get my nails done recently. And my nail technician had a customer in the chair. I was waiting. So then she saw that I was visually impaired. And she was like, and she can't get your nails done. She was talking about me. She was mouthing it. So obviously, I can't see what she's saying. But I knew she was staring at me. And I knew she was talking about me. And then she was like, she didn't mind this. I was like, yeah, she's going to a wedding. She was like, she's going to a wedding. Can I get your nails done? So she gets shoes and she can't see. And I said, actually, I'm not going to let it anymore. But despite that, I must always look good. And she looked at me, she opened her eyes and her mouth like, you lie. And then she was like, you have a child? Because I have my son with me and he's 9 months. And she was like, what you can have with your son? And she was asking questions to my nail technician, not to me. And she was in this fascination. And she was, her nails are finished. And she was like, you're sitting there watching me. All this well. Get my nails done. She's like, I'll go home. And I'm like, who's stopping you? And she's just watching me like, cannot believe that I'm visually impaired, have my own son, and he's with me. I'm not being guided by anyone who's holding him for me. And if I was getting my nails done, she was in fascination. And she just stared at me, thought the girl made sure to look hot. She was like, and her mouth literally dropped. I could see her mouth drop. Like, why the girl look hot? And she can't see. Like, but I still, I'm a person who wants to look good like everyone else, you know?
Well, girls, it really has been good having you to chit-chat around some of the different matters that affect us when we are out and about in our own Barbados. So I just want to encourage all our listeners to take a moment and be polite. Just ask questions and share with us. You've been listening to Visions. Remember that you can reach us at 269-9660, or you can call Starcom at 430-7300 and leave me a message. So until next week, do have fun.